Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric.
Another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. And I'm joined by Nolan Haig at NJH09. And it's been a pretty crazy week. We had a lot going on in sports, kind of a dead day today. Not a lot going on in sports. There's a UFC event going on right now. But no baseball, no soccer, not really too much going on. So what have you done to kind of pass the time here today?
Just been kind of, I don't know, just kind of watching TV and stuff on Netflix or whatever I can find. Yeah, like you said, it's just been kind of one of the very few dead days, especially in the summer, for sports.
Yeah, most definitely. And I guess one thing you could do to kind of pass the time is catch a little Pokemon.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably going to be a sport before too long. The way it blew up. But I've been able to catch some actually. Haven't done too bad despite not being able to get too far from my house. How about you?
Yeah, I got a nice little collection going here. Just kind of ones around my house here. So actually just took over a gym last night. So
hey, there you go. Got to get out there and show everybody how good you are.
Exactly. So I'm on my way.
Nice. All right. Well, I guess you want to go over what we picked last week?
Yeah, let's do it. I know we had quite a bit of UFC fights here, so I figured we could talk about the other ones and then finish with the UFC fights and kind of talk about those. And of course, the main event that ended up getting changed.
Yeah. All right. So what do you want to talk about first then?
All right. First, we could get into our European championships. We went ahead and picked the semifinals. We had Portugal and Wales. That was last Wednesday. Of course, we have a champion crown now, and that ended up being Portugal. So we both liked Wales in this match, but their Cinderella story kind of came to an end. Portugal outplayed them throughout the match, won that one 2-0. Cristiano Ronaldo with a big header and also with an assist on the goal. So he showed up there in the semifinals game. Couldn't really be said for the finals games due to just alternate events in the final game. But were you able to catch the semifinals game between Portugal and Wales?
No, but I did kind of follow along just for what was going on, how the rest of that tournament ended up unfolding. Of course, like you said, Portugal ended up winning that match and eventually the entire tournament. So I don't know. It's very strange. They didn't never seem to be playing. They never seemed to be the best team, but they always found a way to get it done.
Yes, they did. And now Cristiano Ronaldo finally has an international championship trophy, a major trophy to put to his name. And a long way in determining if he's the best player to ever play for Portugal. I would say yes. But then again, I don't really remember too many other guys playing for Portugal. I just know Ronaldo's been around for a while and done a lot of things. So it's huge for him to get that trophy. It really stinks he didn't get to actually play much of the final game. Of course, his knee just wouldn't allow him to do it. Hurt it about in the 8th minute. Tried to play on it about 12 more minutes. He just couldn't do it and had to take himself out. You could see the frustration on his face. But He didn't care. They won, and he didn't care. He cheered with them like he had played the whole match, and you love to see that. I thought that was great leadership, and of course, he knows what kind of impact that's going to have on his legacy, finally getting this championship.
Yeah, definitely unfortunate. He didn't get to see it all the way through, but definitely another great rally job by that Portuguese team. They definitely came up and stepped up when they needed to, especially having to rally around losing your best player. If they make a 30-30 about this team, it'd probably be called something like just enough. I mean, they always seem to be able to pull it out and get a win.
Yeah, I think they won two or three games on penalty kicks. So, yeah, I'm definitely on the edge of your seat. Action throughout the tournament for Portugal, but ended up holding the trophy at the end, and that's all that matters. And I actually heard someone mention that I didn't really listen to this too much, but if they were still under the old format of the pool play, that Portugal wouldn't even been in it. So that's kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, but I mean, that just goes back to sports. I mean, sometimes rules change or have to change, and or playoffs expand for whatever reason or another, or formatting changes, and, you know, just sometimes it's the right year, sometimes it's the time, sometimes you just get hot. So they're the champions now. There's really nothing else you can say about it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. You can only play with the rules, the players, the teams that are in front of you, and Portugal got the job done. So the team that they actually took on was the host country, France, after they ended up beating Germany on Thursday. They won that matchup 2-0 over Germany. I believe it was the first time France has beat Germany international game in like 10 tries, something like that. It had been a long time coming. Germany was the favorites coming in, but France pulled it off and ended up taking on Portugal.
Yeah, France definitely did a good job of playing well as the host country. It's always nice to have your home crowd behind you in pretty much every venue. You're going to have that advantage. But, they definitely took it all the way to the end, and you got to give them credit.
Yeah, no doubt, and they actually had a really good chance to win the whole thing. They ended up having a goal that was barely wide open, but it just hit off the sidebar, and it just wasn't their time to win it all. And great tournament. It was really a lot of great matches and a lot of star power, and it was good to see a lot of people tuning in. And now we have to wait a couple more years, and we'll get some more big international play here.
Yeah, definitely. It's always good to see the best of the best of soccer go against each other. And yeah, it's kind of a shame that now we've got all these big tournaments are over. But I guess it does mean we are getting closer to American football, which is of course always exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. It's gonna be a crazy next couple months here. Kind of a little off time here. We have some baseball, but really that's gonna be your main sport. We'll have some MLS and a couple golf tournaments, but really just some baseball here until football begins.
Yeah, gonna be a real interesting next few weeks here.
Yeah, we're gonna have to dig for some picks here, so.
Yeah, well, we already are, as you will find out later.
Yes, no doubt. So, I guess that, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the Euros?
Nope. Pretty satisfying overall.
All right, I definitely agree. Well, I guess we should talk about fights. It was a fight last week. Three straight cards on three giants. And we kicked it off last Thursday night with the last title on the line. First time a championship has been on the line on UFC's Fight Pass, which is a paid subscription service to get all sorts of fights. And They do some live events. They have already. Well, this was the first title. It was champion Rafael Dos Anjos or Eddie Alvarez. Dos Anjos, of course, was his fight. This was supposed to take on Conor McGregor. It was supposed to be champion versus champion. RDA had to pull out. And RDA actually had to go and fight on a Fight Pass card. He went from possibly the biggest payday of his career to fighting on a card that a lot of people probably haven't seen, because I don't think very many people are subscribed to Fight Pass, or at least not as many people as they expected at first. If you didn't tune in, well, you missed Eddie Alvarez come away with the title. He ended up winning with the first round TKO over Dos Anjos. We both had Dos Anjos winning that fight, but Alvarez usually is the guy who gets stunned early in the fight. He did the stunning in this fight and took home the championship.
Yeah, you gotta love surprises. Always fun there.
Yeah, Eddie Alvarez has been one of the best fighters in underground promotions for a lot of years now. Of course, was lightweight champion in almost every organization he's fought in. A lot of people thought he was the best lightweight to not fight in the UFC for a lot of years. Came to the UFC, kind of had a letdown in his first fight. But ever since then, he's been on a roll, and now he's the new lightweight champion, and also ended a string of having a Brazilian, at least one Brazilian champion in the UFC since 2006. And so that streak came to an end that night.
Wow, yeah, that definitely speaks a lot to just the dominance that country's been able to put forth in the sport. But yeah, no, also says a lot about the growth of the sport that you're getting a lot of diversity in there now.
Yeah, it's so hard to hold on to a title right now. We're seeing titles change hands like it's candy. It's definitely not like in the old days where you had a guy defending the title multiple times. I think that goes a lot to say that this was so easy and it's fighting, and you can't hit that. It only takes one punch, a mistake, and you're not going to be over. And a lot of pressure on these champions nowadays. A lot more people watching, and it's tough. And I think just getting that belt around your waist opens up a lot of things. You kind of blow up after that, and maybe a lot of that stuff gets in your head, and you're just not as prepared for before for your next fight to defend it. And it's pretty interesting to see, and see if we'll see a new trend if this continues.
No, yeah, it's definitely super hard to remain the best at what you do, and yeah, especially when you've got so many other people gunning for you. It's good to see that there's a lot of competition, and it's definitely good for the sport.
Yeah, I do agree it's good for the sport, but I also think what would be good for the sport is to at least one or two champions that are dominating. The UFC doesn't really have that right now. It's hard to build a star whenever you can't guarantee to keep a championship. And of course you can never guarantee that, but it seems like the guys that are marketable fall, and the guys that aren't as marketable hold on the titles a little longer. So it's they need something to balance out there, I think, and the UFC will be in good hands. And of course with the ownership group that purchased the UFC for $4 billion over the weekend.
Yeah, but another thing, it definitely doesn't help when probably some of the most marketable names you have right now in the sport are getting headlines for not necessarily fighting, but for not being able to fight or not wanting to fight because of other issues they have. You definitely are going to need a couple guys that are actually going to be out there doing work.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's also a lot of pressure on these fighters to fight. And I think that they train a little harder than they should maybe in practice. And that's where a lot of these injuries come from. And I'm sure you're talking about John Jones, who we'll get into here in a minute. the one guy who could be the most marketable athlete in any sport is just really shooting himself in the foot. So we'll have to kind of talk about that here in a second.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so what do we got next then?
Next was the Friday night card. It was actually the Ultimate Fighter Finale 23. It was Team Joanna versus Team Claudia. It was the fight we picked was for the Women's Strawweight Championship. It was champion Joanna Jacek versus Claudia Gadella for the championship. And Joanna, we both picked Joanna, and she ended up getting that win. It was a lot tougher than what I expected. She ended up pulling out the unanimous victory. It kind of did go the way I thought a little bit. Thought Claudia would start strong and kind of fade at the end, and Joanna would take over. That did happen, but Claudia put up more of a fight in the later rounds and actually got it to go to a decision. I thought Joanna would eventually be able to finish her, but she was not able to do that.
Yeah, and I'm also pretty impressed with the fact that you were able to get that name down, if only once.
Yeah, Jacek. Yeah, well,
oh, there you go. Wow, what a champion.
I don't know if
all
you're
right.
Talking to her or me, but...
Either or.
No, she's kind of unknown, but we were just talking about fighters that kind of need to build star power. Well, she's starting to do it now. That is three straight defenses that she's had now of her title. Is kind of filling in for that Ronda Rousey role in the women's division. Of course, that bantamweight title ever since Rousey lost it has changed hand ever since, every time that it's been up. And we'll talk about that here in a second as well. But Joanna is really making a name for herself and a really good case of being the best women's fighter in the world and definitely a top 5 or 3 pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Yeah, I guess might as well bring this up real quick. I saw an article that was citing how really fans of UFC, there's really no difference as far as ratings or interest between a male fight and a woman's fight. And I guess I want to know what maybe you thought about that, like how, I don't know. And that's obviously, it's a really awesome thing that you don't see too much really at all in other sports. I mean, we joke about the WNBA and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Most definitely. When they announced that women would be coming to MMA, I wasn't completely sold on it. I was kind of under the impression that Dana knew what he was talking about and that women wouldn't be marketable. But really, I kind of think that they've become a little more marketable than the guys. A lot of fans get behind them when the women are fighting like any other sport, and it's really great to see a sport that women can really take a hold of and that men actually want to watch. I don't mind women's basketball, but let's face it, a lot of the country doesn't watch it, and it's not good, and it's not easy to get out women that way in sports. But I think that MMA is a sport that if a woman wants to kind of be on the same level as a man, then MMA is definitely that sport.
Yeah, no, it's definitely just a really cool thing that, yeah, you can. And the other thing that's awesome is that there, it's all on one card. It's not like we're gonna separate a men's fight from a women's fight for whatever reason. I mean, it's just, yeah, but it's definitely an awesome, I guess, progressive, even as ridiculous as it sounds right now. But yeah, it's just really cool thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's I just hope it continues to grow, and I really think that it really is going to and could maybe surpass some of these lighter divisions in the men's weight classes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the big card then, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. The which of course, you know, took took some turns with John Jones having to drop out. Luckily, Anderson Silva was able to step in. But which one of these fights do you want to talk about, I guess, first?
I guess we can kind of go in order here. Out of the three fights, since we picked Jones Cormier, I kind of threw that one out and didn't count it since we didn't go back on that. So I figured we'd talk about Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar for the Interim Featherweight Championship. This was the second fight on the pay-per-view card, and it was a good one. I really enjoyed this fight, and of course, Jose Aldo has been one of my favorite fighters ever since I started watching MMA. I just have always enjoyed watching him. He's actually the only fighter I've ever bought a fighter shirt of, and he proved that he's ready to take on this Conor McGregor challenge again. He hit and was not hit. He absolutely put it on Frankie Edgar. He hit him with some strong jabs, some strong hooks. Was avoiding punches at all costs from Frankie. And even when he was getting punched, he was getting hit on the end of the punches by Frankie Edgar. And I thought that was huge for Jose Aldo and his confidence. He did get tagged a couple times, and when he did get tagged after that first time, I think that's when he kind of opened up and said, okay, I'm not going to go out like I did in my last fight. I thought he had to get over that in the first round, and I thought he did. And after that, it was all Jose Aldo. A lot of people on Twitter were booing the fight. Even fans were booing the fight. I don't know why. I don't agree with it at all. Thought it was a great fight. When you have two top-level guys fighting each other, you're not going to have a finish every time. Actually, if you did have a finish, then it really wouldn't be a fight between two great fighters, in my opinion. Of course, it's going to happen sometimes, but when you have two guys like Frankie Edgar and Jose Aldo, you can't expect a finish. You have to expect two guys that are going to go in there technically sound and try and beat the other one by any means, because they know that they can get finished just as easily by the other guy.
Yeah, no, this is definitely the Aldo that everybody was expecting to see against Conor McGregor. He was good. He did a really good job of countering Frankie Edgar and staying back and stopping his takedowns. Of course, takedown defense is always amazing. But yeah, he was just able to get a lot of efficient shots in, even though he maybe wasn't the more active fighter. Definitely controlled things and yeah, didn't get hurt and landed some good ones of his own.
Yeah, phenomenal. Kind of just threw Frankie Edgar to the side. Frankie, I think, got in on him one time, but Jose pushed him off. Didn't get taken down once in that fight, and I think that's very telling, because usually in Jose Aldo fights, he kind of fades at the end of them because he's a big featherweight, and it's hard to keep your cardio up. And he got taken down, actually, in the first fight between these two in the later rounds by Frankie. But this time, this night, it was going to happen. And I think Jose Aldo is ready to go on a tear. I think going undefeated for 10 straight years can actually be a little bit of a disadvantage for you. You don't think you need to work on anything. You think you're perfect. And I think that the loss to Conor McGregor kind of opened his eyes that, hey, there are still guys out here that can beat me, and I think he's ready to take on that challenge once again.
Yeah, definitely this could be kind of a waking a sleeping beast kind of deal. He's definitely coming for Conor McGregor, and definitely going to be ready for that one. Because
yeah,
it's not going to go the same way.
Yeah, immediately called him out right after the fight. I think he's ready.
Oh, as he should. Yeah, no, he's definitely refocused.
Yeah, and that's always good to see. So I'm excited for Jose Aldo, and might have to buy me a UFC 200 Jose Aldo shirt. Haven't got one in a while, so.
All right. So I guess
what do
we got next then?
Next we have the co-main event, Brock Lesnar, Mark Hunt. We were wrong.
Yes.
We thought Hunt would make quick work of Lesnar in that fight.
But how boring was the beginning of that fight, though?
I didn't think
they were going to fight at all at first.
I didn't think it was. I thought it was pretty good. I thought Brock fought the exact fight he had to fight. You knew he was going to use his wrestling. Such a large man. It's really just kind of forget. And then when you see him standing up there next to Mark Hunt and just towering over him, it's just remarkable. And he used that speed, power, and quickness just to get around Mark Hunt. And you did mention that first round. Yeah, there weren't too many strikes, but in the third round, Brock got him down and started hammering him with some hammer fists. And I don't know how Hunt survived that third round, but he did. And hats off to Brock Lesnar. What an athlete to be able to come in 4 years out and to be able to beat a top 10 heavyweight in the world. Hats off to him.
Yeah, no, he's definitely still got something left. Yeah, like you said, he still towered over Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt didn't look like he could just, I don't know, get to where he could take control. I mean, Brock just kind of handled himself, which, yeah, for being out so long is just very impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, looking back on that fight now, really, we should have went Lesnar in this fight. I think that got me was the 4-year layoff and the last fight that he was getting TKO'd by the shots. But hey, maybe that disease that he had, that diverticulitis, really was hampering him a lot more than everyone thought. Because Hunt didn't have a chance. He never really hurt Lesnar at all. And really, we should have thought that Lesnar was going to win this, because Hunt had only one chance to win this fight, and that was if he landed one punch, and he was never able to do so. And Lesnar controlled the fight just the way, and really beat up on Mark Hunt. And it was really impressive, because Mark Hunt has some of the best takedown defense in the heavyweight division, and Lesnar got him with relative ease.
Yeah, and once he was on the ground, his uses his size, and yeah, there's nowhere to go.
You're not getting that guy off of you.
Right.
Yeah, not a place you want to be.
Definitely. All right, I guess let's keep it moving here. Next was...
Championship fight, the main event. Women's Bantamweight Championship, Miesha Tate, the champion, versus Amanda Nunes. I really like Nunes coming this fight. I thought Tate was really overconfident and talking about what she was going to do in this fight and what she was going to make Nunes do, and that really scares me when fighters start to do that. So I thought Nunes would eke out a split decision, and you actually had Tate by unanimous decision, but it never even got close to that point. Nunes,
no.
Right from the beginning, started peppering Tate with shots, broke her nose, got her down a couple times, and finally finished off with the first round rear naked choke. And that also ended the 2-day streak of not having a Brazilian champion.
Yeah, it was quite a run, but yeah, no, like you said, Miesha Tate just was not ready.
No, not at all. And I thought she really overlooked Nunes. I think she was thinking about a cyborg fight or some bigger fights, and Nunes is not a girl you want to overlook, especially early in a fight, because she can do exactly what she did, and she did it.
Anything else you got to add there, I guess?
No, congrats to Nunes. She's also the first openly gay UFC champion in history, so congrats to her, and a big step forward even in another sport here.
Yeah, definitely. We're just knocking down barriers today in this show.
Yeah, knocking them all down.
That's right. All right. Well, do we want to talk about Cormier Silva? I mean,
we have to talk about Cormier Silva. Kind of do want to talk about Jones. I do want to give a lot of respect to Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Was in Brazil when he heard that Jones had to pull, flew to Vegas that night, told Dana he wanted to fight, had to pass some tests. He was fighting the next day, and hats off to him. When he took his shirt off, he looked like me taking my shirt off. But he stepped in there, and he was hats off. Greatest fighter to ever grace the octagon. The guy who should have been fighting could be that guy, but he can't get out of his own way. So Anderson Silva, hats off to him. And also hats off to Daniel Cormier. It had to be a tough week for him. He thought he was fighting, then he wasn't fighting, then he didn't know if he was going to fight, and he did get a fight, and he had to come in and fight one of the greatest fighter in UFC history, and he did what he had to do. He got the victory. It was a lose-lose situation for Cormier, because if he loses that fight, sure, he still has his title, but then Silva's probably moving down to 185, taking on Bisping again, and Cormier would just be in a rough spot there. So he did what he had to do, and yeah, just hats off to both guys.
Yeah, no, totally. It wasn't an easy situation for anybody involved. Yeah, good on Anderson Silva for doing that, literally jumping on a plane to go get beat up by the champ. And as for Cormier, yeah, just had to do what he had to do to win. Didn't take any chances, didn't do anything too flashy, just got the job done. And yeah, no, it's just an unfortunate situation. You would really like to see John Jones back in the octagon at all. But yeah, unfortunately, he continues having troubles.
Yeah, he does. I hope he gets his stuff straight. But at this point, he's just got to help himself and do what he needs to do. There's a lot of fans out there that want to see him fight and want to see him get his life together. And I really hope he does, because he could become the greatest fighter the sport's ever seen. He could, I guess he wouldn't be undefeated, but he could be a guy that just runs the light heavyweight division, a division that hadn't had a guy defend the title more than two times before him. So would just really like to see him get his stuff together and just get his life back on track and eventually grace the octagon again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of upsetting every so often we have to talk about the same guys over and over again, having the same, well, not necessarily the same troubles, but the troubles of getting in trouble outside of their job or doing things to prevent them from doing their job. And yeah, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. And it's usually guys that you know could be great. And
yeah, that have all the potential in the world.
And just kind of throwing it away. Jones is still young, but if he doesn't watch out, he's going to come back to an octagon that's not familiar to him, and we could see that aura just kind of dissipate on him. So
yeah,
I hope
definitely.
He gets all situated, and it looks like he'll probably be suspended for 2 years. Nothing's been said yet, but USADA has never been proven wrong before, and I don't know why it would start now.
Yeah, definitely does not look good there on that front. All right, well, any other thoughts I guess you got for UFC 200 or any MMA thoughts before we wrap up this All-Star week?
No, great fights. It was the card tonight, actually, too. July's month for UFC fans and MMA fans alike. So make sure you look at all the upcoming cards. There's two more left in this month, so should be really good. And also left us with our picks last week at I went 4-3, you were 2-5, so your once 7-game lead is now 2, so I'm coming.
Oh, all right. Well, then I guess good thing I picked the games or the picks this time, so maybe I'll re-get some lead back.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. All right, well, last few days with all the All-Star festivities in San Diego and baseball, of course, Midsummer Classic and all the pomp and circumstance that goes along with that. Monday, of course, was the Home Run Derby with all those guys competing. And Giancarlo Stanton kind of put on a show, did he not?
Yeah, I'd say so. The guy who, $300 million man, not an all-star this year, really struggled at the beginning of the year for about a month, really picked it up towards the end. I think just really catapulted himself to have a big second half this season. I know a lot of guys get ruined by the home run derby, but I think Giancarlo's performance is actually going to do the opposite. He said after the home run derby, he was only swinging about 80-90%. He was more worried about keeping his mechanics and his swing down than trying to hit it as far as he could. Still blasted 20 of the top 21 longest homers in the competition. Mark Trumbo had the other one. Hit 61 total, which beat the previous record of 41 by Bobby Abreu. So, yeah, Giancarlo dominated that competition, and wasn't really surprising because I think we all knew he could do it.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like you said, this shouldn't affect him going forward in the season like people like to speculate it does. I mean, he's built to hit home runs. That's just what he does. but, yeah, I mean, just as far as some more numbers for you, his longest home run was 497 feet. And like you said, he wasn't even swinging as hard as he could. So, obviously, he could top that, I'm sure, easily. Five of them went at least 490 feet. the fastest exit velocity on one of his home runs was 120.4 miles an hour. He also had the 20 hardest hit home runs out of anybody in the field, and he averaged 446 feet on his home runs. And Carlos Gonzalez was next at 430, and he was only eliminated in the first round, so I can't remember what he hit. He only hit 12 in his first round. So, yeah. Giancarlo Stanton hit a little bit bigger sample size for his average.
Yeah. I think if Giancarlo's not in that competition, it's kind of just another boring home run derby, but Giancarlo brought a lot to that competition, and that last stat you said of averaging 446 feet per home run, of course, in the new format, is if you hit two over 440 feet, you get 30 seconds extra time at the end. I think only three guys got that, but Giancarlo got it every round and actually averaged
right.
Home runs over that distance. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just ridiculous. 17 and 20 home runs. those are like, usually you might see one round a guy will be able to get to there, but yeah, no, that's just insane.
Yeah.
To just do it over the course of the night like that.
Yeah, just ridiculous. But he proved that he's a superstar and still really young, and I think we're going to see him on Tuesdays a lot more, and I don't think we'll be seeing him miss Tuesdays for the next few years or so.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like you said, he'd been starting to swing the bat a little better over these last couple weeks, and I'm sure he'll take this right on into the second half.
Yeah, we can only hope, because I'm hoping I really hope that the Marlins can find their way back in the playoffs, and of course, you know that that's the other team that I root for in baseball. And, both of my teams actually kind of owned this weekend, that week. So I'll
yeah,
kind of, like,
about
talk
that.
About
I mean, yeah, that was pretty interesting. The All-Star game started and everything, and Chris Bryant hit a home run in the first inning and off Chris Sale, and that was – you know, nice and all. But in the second inning, Johnny Cueto took his and went to work for the second inning, and his second inning, I guess, and had to face Eric Hosmer, who hit a home run to left field off of him to tie it. And then, of course, two batters later, Salvador Perez, with a man on, hit another home run off of Johnny Cueto. There's, you know, a lot of talk about the whole Johnny Cueto era in Kansas City and and about the redemption, or I guess not redemption, or retribution or whatever for the underwhelming, I guess, events that happened during his tenure in Kansas City. But I'm not going to put – I just don't see a point in bringing it all up again, really. I mean, people like to complain or feel slighted or whatever, but it's a world title. I'm not going to – good for Johnny Cueto. He got to start the All-Star game. And good for Eric Hosmer and Salvador Perez for hitting home runs. First pair of teammates since Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz, who, of course, had his last – well, it would have seemed his last All-Star game last night.
Yeah, no doubt. And I also want to mention Miguel Cabrera not letting Ned Yost put him in the game because he wanted Hosmer to get the MVP. Rivals in their divisions, but great respect there between the two.
Yeah, no, there's always that the great deal of respect being shown at All-Star games. It's one of the great things about the traditions of baseball. There's a lot of, you know, we get caught up in wanting to, and guys, you know, showing up pitchers and stuff. But when you have all these guys coming together from different teams and stuff in this event, it's always nice to see the camaraderie and kind of brotherhood, I guess, if you will, that there can definitely be.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. So, well, we kind of ran out of time here. I wish we could talk a little bit more about the All-Star game here. But like we said, kind of run out of sports. So we'll be talking plenty of baseball over the next few weeks, I'm sure. So kind of want to get in these picks and do those real quick.
Yeah, might as well. The Open Championship, who you got?
Two here, but I'm only going to go with one. My pick I'm going to go with is Justin Rose, but a sleeper that I was almost going to pick was Marcus Frazier, a guy from Britain. And those are the two guys to keep an eye out for.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Jason Day. I'm thinking he's been probably one of the hottest golfers around for the last, I don't know, at least a year. Definitely longer than that. But, yeah, no, I'm going to do that. Let's go with Jason Day.
All right. That was actually my original pick, but
all right.
I didn't want to go too off.
Next up, Saturday, Colorado Rapids versus Sporting Kansas City. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go Sporting KC because Dom Dwyer is going to score two goals.
I am also going to go Sporting KC, and that would be awesome if that would happen. So I agree with that, too. okay.
Right.
And next is Cubs-Rangers on Saturday. You, Darvish, versus Jason Hamill.
I'm going to go Rangers here. Jason Hamill's kind of fell off a little bit, kind of going back to where he should be, not a guy at 3 ERA. So I like the Rangers here, and I believe it's going to be you, Darvish's fourth or fifth start of the season?
Yeah.
Somewhere in
something
there.
Like that. Yeah. I'm also going to go Rangers. they're definitely one of the hotter teams in baseball, especially after the Cubs kind of cooled off there.
Yeah, and if the Rangers win the series, they'll have the best record in baseball.
Yeah. All right. And then we got a couple more here if we can get them in. Do you think Von Miller's going to sign a contract or
he'll play
under the tag or
sit
out?
He'll sign the franchise tag.
Yeah, he'll sign the tag?
Yeah.
I think Denver will pull through with an extension at the last second. Okay, and then last but not least, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series at New Hampshire. Who you got?
Matt Kenseth.
I'm going to go Kyle Busch.
All right. Well, that wraps up our picks. Before we end here, I just kind of wanted to go over my hot tweet. Of course, it's Jimmy V week, so.